We have the schus tonight to host in the Beis Medrash one of the premier mechanchim in the United States of America, but the emphasis is career in chinuch and learning. Certainly began way before that. There, Ravan Lopayansky Shlita is not only the Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva of Greater Washington down in Silver Spring, who happens to be a Rebbe and a figure that a number of our Bachrim have looked up to, sometimes in a very literal sense, over the past number of years that they spent in the Yeshiva, but that many throughout the United States of America had looked up to as someone who's known as not only an incredibly deep Baal Machshava, which is certainly a Shmo Holech Lefanov in that area, one of the premier Talmidim of Amori Rabbi and Rosh Shapiro Shlita, but someone who has learned both with and from some of the giants of the Mir Yeshiva, by his own father, by Rabbeinu Shvinkel, by Menachem Pertzovitz and others, someone who has again been Mekabel Torah and been Mekabel Mesorah from the greats in learning of Mamish, everyone who's the giants of the both past generations and our generations as well, and someone who's taken upon himself to be Marbetz Torah to Talmidim both here in Eretz Yisrael and then later on in the United States of America. I don't know if he'll have time to speak about the Yeshiva of Greater Washington, the Beis Medrash that he has back at home, but a place of Baruch Hashem, I was just there this past week, as a matter of fact, amongst almost everywhere else in America, but a place to be able to see where Bachrim are sitting and learning and enjoying the Rizqa Daraisa that's there in the Beis Medrash is very, very impressive to be able to witness, and if a Pasha to feel a part of it, it's a tainug always to be there. But also, it's new cover of the Torah to Rilpiansky Shlita.
Even though the yeshiva is here, and it is the second year, I believe, I've heard so many good things. I've known the Rosh Yeshiva, who have their worthy reputations, the chinuch, and Baruch Hashem, the first impression is extremely positive, and it should be very matzliach, it should grow in Mitz Hashem, and the many good prayers should come out of it. I want to speak a little bit about a topic that's kind of... It's one of the inyanim of the Mishkan that's very, very veiled in mysticism, secrecy. Very hard to get a handle on what it is. And also the Kruvim. The Kruvim, first of all, stand out. I mean, they were in the Kodesh Kadashim. They were the highest point, really, in the Kodesh Kadashim, the Kruvim. The Kol came from Beina Kruvim, so to speak. That was the Mokum where Kodesh Baruch Hu was Masha Shchina. It's remarkable because we never find Tzuris ever in a Beis HaMikdash or anything like that, but specifically about what the face, what was the Tzura? Each element in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, represented something. The Gemara says that the word Kruv comes from the word Ravrevi, Api Inuki. They were baby-faced, and that's where the expression, that's where the cherub figure of baby face comes from. And it obviously represents something. There's something there that is, in a certain sense, the very essence of the Mikdash is the panim of a tinok. And I'd like a little bit to try to get some sense of it, kafir kenu in it. I want to start with, there's a Goyen here. And the Goyen starts with a Medrash. Very strange Medrash. It's a Medrash in Vayikra. And it speaks over there, it's going from Inyan to Inyan. The Medrash speaks about a tarnagol, about a chicken, a rooster. And it's going on Lasech Vivina. What does it mean? It's a pasuk Mishos Batuches Chachma Oy Minosan LaSechvi Vino. Who gave wisdom to a Sechvi? So the Gemara says it's a Tarn. The Chazal says it's a Tarnago. Now the Medrash continues something about the Tarnago's lifestyle. Hado Tarnagolta, a Tarnago, Karefreches the Kikin, when the chicks are young. She takes him under her wings. So it picks at the seeds and the stuff in front of it, and it picks out the edible stuff and gives it to the chickens. V'kad inun ravya, and when they grow up, chad min hoin boile mekarv lavase, one of them wants to get close to it, v'hi nikra le begoy reshe. So the chicks are just fine. They'd like to eat a meal at home, so they come back sometimes, and once they started growing already, they come back to the mother. So the mother knocks on their head, and the amale pecks on the head. The amale zil adol bikul kalticha. Why don't you go and find your own supper? Kach kishoyesol b'mid b'memshon. When Klaysol was in mid 40 years, the man went, the bear went, the slav. And then I covered my kifasayson and would honor myself of Nehem. Everything was prepared for them. When Klaysol came into Eretz Yisrael, Omele Moshe kol echad vechad mikem yitoin makushe v'yapak v'inzayim tzivit. Rabbi Yisai, take your own axe, take your own plows, and get to work. That's the Chazal. So Chazal say, when a chick is young, the hen serves it its meals, gives it everything, and when it gets older and it tries to repeat that the shtick, it's chased away and told to go take care of itself. So the Goyen says, it's in the Bir Agron Baba Kama. Kisha Odom Kotten Boiteach Al Boyri Me'oid. When a person is young, he has a very strong bitocha Kadosh Baruch Hu, umanhigo Kadosh Baruch Hu bashkocha tzuma pratis. And then there's a strong hashkocha on him. Ukshnis gadol boteach batzmo. When you get older, you become more confident. Kumokein hashkocha nim etes melov. And he has less hashkocha. Kumokein Yisrael, before the Yam, they were scared of Mitzrayim, and they were boteach bashem. And when they had less bitachon, they had less hashkacha. That's why you had kruvim that were like youngsters. Because the young ones are the kiyum of shechina. So the Goyen says that the same concept of young and being totally be dependent is the idea of kruvim. Now, let's just get a sense of it. The Medrash seems to imply that the hen is right. In other words, once you get old enough, go pick up your own supper. And if it comes back, the hen is smart enough to chase it off. That's the lashon. So the sense of it is, when you've grown up, that's the better state of affairs, and out you go. The Goyen seems to see it the other way. The Goyen says, we needed to have the baby face in the kruv, because that was the tzura, and that was the signon of Kabbalah's Hashchina, of Hashkocha, and so on. If the Goyen is coming from the Chazal here, where is he coming over here? So I'd like to use, I don't know, it's ironic to use a Balatanya to explain the Goyen, but I still would like to do it. May they both forgive me if the company they used to say about, I remember which godly, he never used to keep Rabbi Yaakov Emden's firm together with Ivershitz's firm, Jeremy's Ivershitz's firm, because he said if they didn't get along, he doesn't want them next to each other on the shelf. But Torah here, and it's today, it's Eilu Veilu, so we'll try to understand it. There's in the Tanya, which is a collection of five different Sfarim of different lengths and so on, there's a small piece. It's called Chanoich Lenar. I'm not sure why it's there, but it's there. And he focuses on the following piece. It says, he goes on the pasuk Chaloich Lenar al Pidarko, Gam Kiyaskin Liyosim Imenu. Educate a child, a young person, Nar Kidarko, as is usual for a young person. And even when he gets older, he won't leave it. The pshat that everyone says, and the normal pshat, and probably is the right pshat, is that the test of whether you're training a young person right, or you're just banging him in and, you know, forcing him to do something is when he gets older, when he leaves yeshiva and he's gone, what's going to be afterwards. If you were mechanech the person with his kohos, he'll blossom. And if you just hammered him into some framework, he's going to leave it. That's the push up shot, and that's that's sort of a very big, it is a very important yisod, chinuch, and so on. But the Baal Tanya has a very different take on the pasuk. And he says as follows, he asks us a question. He learned the pasuk, train a child as you would a child. In other words, use childish approach, the approach that's appropriate for a child, so that even when he comes grown up, he still has a childish approach. That's what he says. And he asks the obvious question, what's the pshat in that? And he says as follows. He says, in a person's life, in Avodas Hashem, imagine you're walking up steps. Let's picture it. You walk up steps, so you're on a landing. When you move on to the next step, there's going to be a place where you've left one step and you haven't quite landed with 2 feet on the second step. You're neither here nor there. And that's a moment of great instability, because you were on ground and you will be on ground, but you're somewhere in the middle. And that piece is a dangerous piece, because a person, that's when you slip and fall. When you're standing flat on a surface, you don't fall. But when you're moving, because you're not completely there, he says, imagine a child that's going, he's learning Chumash, he's doing very well with Chumash, and he's all set. And you start learning Mishnayos with him. So he's outgrown, so to speak, the Chumash stage. He hasn't found himself in the Mishnayos stage. And he has a gap there, and he's not comfortable. The same thing when a person moves up to Gemara, and so on. So he says there are times and periods constantly between stage and stage when you need to have an emuna tmima and pshuta. In other words, what characterizes a nar, a child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it like this. Children don't have enough das of their own, so they have a midah of trusting the other. A child trusts a parent. A child trusts a teacher, authority. And that's why it's so tragic when a child is hurt by someone who he trusted, because his trust is pure. The trust that a child has is because he doesn't have his own das to lead him. So he needs to trust in someone and hold on to something. And that's how it functions. When when a child stops being a child and becomes a teenager, he thinks he has das, and he certainly doesn't trust anybody. So he has the best of both worlds. He has the das of a teenager, and he has the trust of an outsider. But as a person begins to develop and become a bar das, he's now in a position to do for himself and to work for himself, and so on. So the Baal Tanya says, in that stage, you'll always need to come back to moments of tmimus d'emunah and trust, rather than reliance on yourself. So yes, the avoda is to start making your own decisions, and to start working with your das and with your own achrayas. But you'll need it for the rest of your life. There will always be periods of just where you have to be boteach in the sense relying on someone else rather than yourself. So I'd like to come back to here. A person's, we are caught between two pulls in this world. Two poles. A person has, on the one hand, bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitachon meaning, not in the narrow meaning of relying on him for parnasa and so on. It means, I trust. I don't understand it. I don't know why. I don't see it. But I trust in decision making. And then I have the and then I have doing myself, being self, being independent. That's the two major tkufis in avoda, is a tkufa where a person is doing avoda, and a tkufa where a tkufa where first a person relies and learns from others, and then a tkufa where a person is doing his own avoda. So Klal Yisrael in the midbar, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Zan and Mefinus and so on and so forth, is simply the outer expression of what it was. Lechtech achrei b'midbar be'eretz lo zeruah. You followed me blindly. It didn't make sense. Where are we going? We don't begin to understand. Dora Midbar was, we wandered for 40 years in a place where you could have walked straight across. I mean, no matter how clumsy you are, just follow. If you'd walk due north, you'd be there. It's not a big deal. So for 40 years, you followed blindly. You ate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fed you. You did no avoda of your own. In every sense of the word, physically it was true, there was the mind, there was this and that. And that's what you start with. Then when you go to Eretz Yisrael, now's the time for avoda. Now a person needs to make his own decisions, needs to do his avoda, and Bez needs to pasken, and Klal Yisrael needs to learn, and they need to do the mitzvahs, and the maises, and to go to war, not go to war, and so on and so forth. So the two tkufas in Klal Yisrael, there's a tkufa of gidul towards godless, and then there's godless. The Gaon says, Hashros HaShchina is in the place where we're not grown up, in the place where we're dependent. By definition, Hashros HaShchina means I see myself only as a means for someone else to express his understanding. We don't get the full sense. Hashros HaShchina means we are just a platform for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That requires what he calls Kruvya Apiravi, the face of a child. In other words, in the place that's miyuchet v'ashros hashchina is where Klal Yisrael sees themselves as dependents on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Gaon says, where you have more bitachon means relying on the other rather than on myself. That's where you have v'ashros hashchina. Once Klal Yisrael moved permanently into the Mishkan, into Eretz Yisrael, with the Migdash, the avoda was mostly our avoda, but we retained a place, a little spot where we had that. Let's explain it with another point, make the picture larger. In the general sense of learning Torah, and in Yiddishkeit, we have a struggle. If Yiddishkeit is all about our depending on HaKadosh Baruch, what Hashem says that we'll do, then HaKadosh Baruch should have given us a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, maybe Misos Yesharim, and told us, follow it, don't ask questions, and that's it. Dismissed. We spend time, and a lot of time, and breaking our heads, and working hard to understand, to think, to decide, to pass it. There were many Rosh Hashivas, the chinuch was, if you went to ask a shayla, if yeshiva went to ask a shayla, just what do you do in case X or Y, you just got over the head, look through the inyan, work it out, and then come and ask. Don't ask like a little child, can I do this? Tell me that studim. Tell me, you're supposed to be paskening. So you don't pasken, but you're not, it's not enough to say, can I do this on Shabbos, not do this on Shabbos? Go through it and tell me what your Shaila is. So that's what's demanded of us, on the one hand. On the other hand, there are parts that don't make sense, that will not make sense, may not make sense for many years, and we're supposed to rely on it. Which one is it? And the answer is, it's both. In that, Torah is something that has in itself mishpatim, which is telling our seichel, and has in itself Torah, a chayk, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like the Bala Tanya says it in his language, you need to have nairus in yourself and the sense of, I may not understand, but this is what's right to do, and so what I have to do. The Pasuk says, Nar Yisrael Kerehaveu. Klal Yisrael is a Nar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him. A Nar is not a complimentary term. If you take a look in Tanakh, Nar means, even if the person is an older person, a Nar is like a gopher. It's another way, a translation for Nar is, if you look through Tanakh, Nar is the guy who gets sent. He's the guy that, okay, you know, Fred, take it and go with it. That's the Nar. A Nar is not a complimentary term at all. But what does it mean, Nar Yisrael Ka'aveu? I like Klal Yisrael when the Nar, the Nair. The answer is because it's a certain part of yourself. The brain has to be developed and mature, but the core of it, in the Beis Hamikdash itself, was a place where we did avoda, and everything we did over there was our avoda, and that's how we earned our parnasa. The schus of working Beis Hamikdash and so on were things that brought shefa to the world. But the core of the Beis Hamikdash was a place, the high point of the Beis Hamikdash was a place where we had the image of a babe, of a dependent. And that's where the Shekhinah spoke to us. Outside, we had to rely on ourselves. We had to bring chatos, and we had to bring tmidim, and we had the lishkas hagazis that passed in halachis, and everything. We were the ones that performed it. There was a Bez Nishol Kohanim, you know, there was a Torah's Kahuna, and this was up to us to decide and to do. But the core of it was a tzura of a dependent, and the Shekhinah spoke from Bein Abadim, from Bein Akruvim, because that's where the voice of the Shekhinah comes from. Reb Chaim Shlomitz used to quote very often Chazal. Was one of his favorite Chazal. It says, "Odmu v'heima toshia Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, saves, Odom u'beheima." What does it mean, Odom u'beheima? So Chazal say, "Elo anoshim she'arumim ka'anoshim," people who are as bright and as intelligent as humans can be, but me'sim atzam k'beheima, but they act totally dependent and but like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a beheima. There's an extraordinary tshuva of the Rivash. Someone asked him about Kabbalah and presented a whole list of problems with the Mekubalim and how they daven, well, shouldn't it be Avodah Zarah and this and that. And he answers, it's a classic tshuva. But on the Lemaisa, he says, I'm telling you the answers that are correct. But if you're asking me practically how should a person act, he says, Umilan Agadol Kiri Kanan, that was a giant in Kabbalah, but he davened ketinok ben yomo. There was a certain, his davening was pashut. It was without thinking that he knows kavanas this and that, he davened with the simplicity of a child asking his father for something. And that's, I think, what he was mechavan to. It's almost a paradox in a yeshiva, in a yeshiva's goals. A yeshiva is teaching a person to be very proactive in Yiddishkeit, proactive intellectually, proactive in maisim. We're taught everything depends on what we're going to do, and everything depends on our maisim and tenuos olakim and tzorilot chateshi and the mesifter rakia paskins like what we do here and so on. That's the chinuch of that's our chinuch. But and we shy away. One of the reasons that yeshivas have traditionally shied away from an overly philosophical investigation of core issues is afraid of ruining that nekuda of tmimus that should be in a person's pnimius. In other words, my sense of Hashem at some point should be, Shalom Aleichem Aragelecha, you know, from this point onwards, I am simple, humble, flesh and blood, and standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it melts, my chachma and my das and everything else melts away. And you sometimes pick up when somebody's very smart and maybe even accomplished in learning, but there's a haughtiness there that goes through and through. And there's no point where a person is, you know, like Ketinek Ben Yom Ofer Kadosh Baruch Hu. You just don't sense that. A person like that, we don't sense him as being out of God. We respect him for the learning, respect him for his knowledge. But a true person that's kosher to Kadosh Baruch Hu has both of it. And we should be zayicha, Baruch Hashem, it's a makom that's very good, and it's a makom that the atmosphere you feel when you come in is a dveikus in learning, and Yerushalayim, it's something you should gain from it. It's a split personality, but that's the way Yiddishkeit works. The Beis HaMikdash is a place where it's round with klak avoda, everything depends on it. But at the core, it's the face of a child. When you face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, Me'anu, Me'chayenu, Me'chastenu, Me'tzakenu, Me'ishenu. Really, from this point onwards, it's all meaningless. And that's the place where there's Ashras HaShechina. Where there's Kruvim, where there's a tzura of a Tinok, fully trusting and fully understanding that his job is just to hold tight to the hand of one that's leading him, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a person, Gabriel. That's all.